They're great, aren't they?
Amen.
Amen. Parents, you have a right to be proud. Amen. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 20. I'll be reading just a portion of verse 35. In speaking on the thought of it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. The title actually being in this scripture verse. The Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to the Word of God this morning. Father, we thank you so much in the holy name of Jesus for your goodness, grace, and truth. We thank you, God, for your presence in this place and for the wonderful work of the Gideons and the work that you are doing in the lives of our young people. We pray now that you continue to move by your Spirit upon the sharing of your Word this morning. Give words to the speaker and give us all attentive ears that we might hear from you, God, this day from your word. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. One of the important things that we focus on as a church is our vision for the church, as it would be whatever church anyone might be, a believer might be a part of. A church vision must be more than just nice words on a bulletin or on letterhead or on the overhead announcements as they flash during the service. For a vision truly to be what God has ordained a vision to be, a vision must be known by not just the pastor, but by all members of that church body. It must not only be known, but it must be believed. We must invest ourselves and our heart in that vision. And just like in any other aspect of our faith or our relationship with the Lord Jesus, that which we believe means nothing if it is not acted upon. So vision must be something that is received and believed in one's heart, but acted on in one's life and ministry. Our vision, as is in our bulletin, on our announcements, and mentioned in other places, has been preached upon several times, is to experience Christ in a real and powerful way. We want every time we come together, not only as we live for God and we experience God's presence, but when we come together to experience that unique dynamic of the manifestation of God's Holy Spirit in this place, in Jesus' name. We've been called to experience Christ. We've been called to love one another. And in doing so, we need to learn and act on the unconditional love that Jesus Christ both demonstrated for us on Calvary, but also called us to demonstrate and share with one another. And of course, we need to reach Norwich. One of the main reasons that we are here is to touch this community. You know, when we get to heaven, and Brother Bill shared with me a book, and I'm going to get to that book at some point, the title is enticing. But we get to heaven, we'll be able to praise God. We'll be able to worship Him and experience as much of Christ as we can handle and more. In heaven, because we will be together and we'll be freed from the shackles of flesh, we'll be able to love one another. But in heaven, we'll not be able to reach lost people for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something that must be accomplished in the here and now. And as a church and as a people, it's important we realize that we not be a one-trick pony. And what I mean by that, we can't be a people, either collectively or as individuals, who just buy into or get behind one aspect of vision. Well, I enjoy experiencing Christ, but as far as loving or reaching, I don't care too much about that. Or I want to be an effective evangelist, but as far as spending time in prayer and knowing God, I'm not too interested in that. Or I enjoy fellowship, but not so much meeting new people or not so much this prayer thing. That's not what I'm about. But we can't do that if we're to be effective. The vision of the church should be, as always, something that is multifaceted. And as such, the different aspects of a vision being multifaceted are such that they are not only interrelated, they are interdependent upon one another. In order for each individual part of our vision to be successful, all three must be embraced. We brought this out one time in speaking on the necessity of brotherly love, how brotherly love is important. And it's important not just because we've been called by God to love one another, but our relationship with one another also affects other aspects of our ministry. We cannot effectively touch the heart of God, and in doing so, experience the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ if we do not truly love one another, if we're not living in a spirit of unity. And we truly can't reach the world if we do not love one another. Jesus Christ himself said to his disciples, they shall know you are my disciples by what? By your love. Love is very important. This morning, though, I'd like to take some time and look on the first point or aspect of our vision, that being experience in Christ. Because this, too, is an important, if not critical, part or aspect of our vision, in that it impacts others. Experiencing Jesus. When we come together having a meaningful time of worship, so that we know when we've come together, we haven't just been in a physical place with one another, and we haven't just been in a place where we've shared some good feelings with other people, but when we have come to God's house, whether it's a venue such as this where everyone's together or perhaps in smaller venues like Bible study and Sunday school and whatnot, we have not only come together to meet with each other, we are experiencing the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is here. And because He is here, it is a time which is real and a time that is meaningful. When we experience Christ, it empowers and enables us to truly love one another. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The presence of God is the moving of God's Holy Spirit upon us. And what is the first fruit of God's Holy Spirit? It's that of love. And so when we are experiencing Christ, we can't help because it's flowing out of us to love one another as Christ has called us to love. When we are experiencing Christ, it fills us with a zeal. Because what is the Spirit of God? What is the heart of God? What is the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible telling us that God is not willing that any should perish. I know there are many of you who sit here today hearing the testimony of Brother Tongren and what the Word of God is doing, thinking of family members of who do not know Christ. And how your heart is breaking for them. How much more so do you think your Heavenly Father feels, not just for that one person in your family, as precious as that person is, but for the multitudes upon multitudes, millions upon millions, I dare say billions upon billions. There's roughly 7 billion people here on this earth, multitudes of which are not ready to meet their eternal destiny because they do not know Christ as their Savior. The heart of God weeps. The heart of God breaks. But when we experience the power and the fullness of Christ, He not only shares the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, but He also shares His easy yoke and burden, that being a passion for those people who do not know Christ as our Savior or as their Savior. And if we are to experience Christ in a tangible way, so essential in many aspects of our relationship with Jesus and our ministry as a church, we need to develop a passion for Christ. And in doing so, it's important to understand realize the importance of having a right attitude and approach in coming before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, often when we speak about coming together to worship and coming together to know the Lord and to serve God, we think of the aspect of expectation. Many times, I've said it, and you've probably heard many other people say it as far as when worship begins. We hope you have a heart of expectation. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Approaching God with that expectation, that boldness, that God is going to do something in our lives. And I believe that to be true. Believe. Trust that God is able to do great things in our lives. Trust that God not only is able, but He desires to do something in the lives of those who follow Him, because He is that compassionate God. Trust that God not only desires, but He will do great things in people's lives. Faith is important. Expectation is important. And so it must be cultivated in our lives through prayer, through the study of the Word of God. The Word of God builds faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Through mutual encouragement. Never forget a very important aspect of your faith relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is other people. And if you isolate yourself as a believer and don't spend time allowing iron to sharpen iron, spending time in the presence of other believers with the express purpose of being encouraged in your faith, you are denying yourself an avenue of God moving in your life and increasing your faith in Him and the power of His Holy Spirit. We've been called to live together. So faith or heart of expectation is important. But it should not, as we have been called by God to be servants of the Most High King, supersede our obligation, our requirement, our mandate to give of ourselves of the Lord to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heart, our mind, our soul, our everything, including when we come together to worship God. We've been called by God to have, first and foremost, an attitude of giving. And the reason God calls us to give is for no shallow reason. It is for the greatest reason of all. It is for the reason that we celebrated communion this morning. It is for the reason that Jesus Christ gave His life for us. How much did God give that you and I might be redeemed? That you and I might be set free from every sin? I'll tell you how much He gave. He gave up everything. If I were to ask the parents today whose children stood in front of us, and what is the most precious, important thing in your life other than your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I do not doubt for one instant it would be your children. Your children are the most important thing, and them carrying a legacy of godliness and of joy and peace and salvation throughout their lives, because they're a part of us. And what did our Heavenly Father give for us that we might be redeemed? He gave Jesus. And seeing as He is given, He's also asked us to give back. An attitude of giving by the worshiper of God is taught throughout Scripture. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, God in the first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before Me." God must be before all things, including ourselves, the greatest idol of all. And this is not just an Old Testament thing that we can just say, just the Old Testament. We don't have to worry too much about that. This is something that Jesus reiterated in the New Testament. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Giving. Expectation can only be displayed when what happens? When first we give of ourselves to the Lord. And this is not only in the aspect of materially. I believe this also includes the spiritual realm and the giving of our hearts in that fashion. And then, of course, probably the most popular and widely recognized scripture as it relates to the giving of ourselves, Matthew 6:33, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." giving of ourselves first, seeking first God, and then God moving, God satisfying, God filling, God delivering in Jesus' name. Only when we give can we assuredly come before God with that sense of expectation. The problem is, in our society, expectation has been replaced, and I'm not just talking in the church, I'm just talking generally, and it's spilled over into the church. The heart of expectation has been replaced with a gimme or a selfish heart or attitude. Think of what drives our society today. I think one of the things that drives our, especially our American culture, is that of entertainment. Everything is surrounded, everything is revolving around entertainment. And I think because of that, I think it's a reason sometimes that you and I as believers struggle in this area. Because seeking first the kingdom of God, and giving of ourselves first and foremost before the Lord Jesus Christ is absent in many Pentecostal and charismatic circles today. There's a strong desire in our society to be entertained. Look at our own area of the state, Southeast Connecticut. What is the main economic driving force of this area? It used to be electric boat. I don't think it's that anymore. I think it's the Twin Towers, if you want to call them that, as Brother Charlie does. And what goes on there? Gambling, but much more than entertainment. People seem to have to be, whatever they're doing, they can't live unless they're being entertained. And you know, in some ways, I'm guilty of this. You can't go down the street and you don't see someone with something in their ears listening to music. Or, you know, carrying around, you know, kids can't walk around or can't survive unless they've got a little box that plays games. It's to the point now, you can't even make a phone call without being entertained. You know, salesman trying to sell me a new cell phone. Well, you can have games with this. What do I want games on my side? I just want to make a phone call. It's funny, but it's true. A lot of people do, and they buy games. I've seen people in waiting rooms. There they are on their phone, and they're not. If they're dialing a number, I'd like to know what number they're dialing. They're not. They're playing some kind of game. Game, you know, everything. So we can't live. It's like a cheap drug. I got to be entertained 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. An entertainment mentality has entered the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. People, either knowingly or unknowingly, when they come before God, they don't come to give of themselves. But they come with a gimme mentality. They come, I want to be entertained. I hope today when I go to church, I'll be entertained for an hour and a half or 2 hours. I hope the teaching that I receive in Sunday school, I hope it's really interesting and very stimulating. I hope the worship team, I hope they sing songs I like. You know, I hope they don't sing those songs I don't like. I like, you know, that one I like, and I got it on my iPod and I listen to it all the time. I hope it's something good. Or I hope the preacher, I hope he rings my bell today. You know, I hope he just tells those stories and makes me laugh 1 minute, makes me cry. Then we'll know we'll have church. Now, are any of those things wrong? Well, they are. If that's what you're coming to the body of Christ for. And this is happening. And I'm not reading people's minds, but this is evidenced in many circles in church leadership. Rather than seeking God for the wisdom and leading of God as far as for their local assembly. You know, the question is, how can we get people excited? You know, how can I keep people excited and engaged for an hour and a half? And what's wrong with that? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with that. What are you aiming for? When you ask questions like that, you're not aiming for the most important part that is part of that person. Their spirit and their soul. You're aiming for their mind and you're aiming for their emotions. Now salvation, the Holy Spirit, does affect those things. But let me tell you, entertainment, if a church is about entertainment, and many churches kind of fall into that, it might have a lot of snap, crackle, and pop, but it will not be anything that lasts for a long time. Think of entertainment in the world, in the real world. And, you know, I think the biggest entertainment thing that I noticed this past week was the Celtics. For those of you who might be Celtics fans, and I used to, in the 80s, I was a diehard Celtics fan. You know, I just loved the Celtics. In fact, I bought a VCR, and the reason I bought it was so I could tape Celtics games, and I thought that was great. You know, people are into that. And after 22 years, correct me if I'm wrong, but 22 years, they finally won a championship. This very proud Celtic organization finally won. And, you know, there was a great celebration. I saw a little bit on the news where they're going through towns. How about today? How many people care about the year 2008 and the Celtic celebration? Well, there's probably a few diehard fans who do. But I tell you that most people have moved on to other things. And regarding the Celtics, if they are diehard fans, they say, well, great. You won this one, but you better deliver next year. It only lasts, you know, entertainment's nice. It occupies you for a few moments. But it only lasts as long as a moment. And then it's gone. And spirituality can be like that. If we're just seeking to be entertained, it's not going to stay with us. You know, in real life, you can spend time, you know, watching a movie or, you know, doing some kind of entertainment thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to have a time of rest. But if you want something to stay with you, if you want to grow as a person, your life needs to be more than about entertainment. You need to spend time, of course, in the Word, but you need to spend time investing in yourself, investing in your mind, investing in your heart, investing in your community. There's more to life than just entertainment. Although much in our society is geared towards that. And it's the same as far as true spirituality. If we're coming just hoping to be entertained, and that's our mindset, you know, I want to receive, I want some gimmies when I come to church or when I come to Bible study or whatever it might be, you might be entertained for a few minutes. But if that's your mindset, you're not going to take anything with you. What true spirituality does is when it's true because of God and who He is, His power and His nature. True spirituality, when we come before God with the right heart, mind, and attitude, elicits real change. It's not just something we find entertaining for a few moments and then forget a few moments later. God does something real and profound in our lives. Those areas we didn't think we could change in, all of a sudden, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we can change. The attitude that I had that was sad or miserable has now been transformed into something good and real and genuine. And it doesn't leave when you've left the door. You know, because God and the moving of God's Holy Spirit is more than something that just lasts for a moment. When God does something, it lasts for an eternity. Well, you might run from it, but it'll always be haunting you. Let me tell you, you know, salvation being the key thing. Some people run away from salvation. But when people are saved, despite the fact they might backslide, the Holy Spirit will continue to call out to them. Why? Because what God does lasts forever. And it relates to our experiences in Christ. You know, I think, you know, when we come together, with the right attitude, we want to experience more of Jesus. It goes beyond stimulating our mind and emotions. It goes deeper than that, although our mind and emotions may be stimulated. It goes much deeper. It goes to the deep places of our heart and our soul. And when God truly moves, it satisfies. You know, when I've received what I've been looking for in my life. And you know the wonderful thing about the satisfaction of God? When God moves and pours Himself, His Spirit in us. You know, I think of that scripture from John chapter 10. On the last day of the great feast, Jesus said, anyone who comes after me, out of his belly will flow living waters. You know, God pours in. We're satisfied, but we also want more. We want to continue in that satisfaction in the name of Jesus. We don't want to experience any drop or let down in the Holy Spirit's moving in our lives and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It creates in us a tremendous desire to continue in Jesus' name. So to live in this and to experience this, we must become givers. Our attitude, it must be Christ first. You know, as believers, we need to understand that we struggle with entertainment. And why do we do that? Well, part of it is because of the world. But part of it is because we're not growing in Christ. great to have Brian and Holly here. We didn't have an opportunity to hear from them. Maybe tonight they can share a testimony. So you want to come out and hear that, because it'll be good. I know it will be. But they're involved in children's ministry, and many of you have seen their ministry. And if you've seen their ministry, you will know that they do things different than I do. In fact, when Brian's teaching to adults, most of the time, he does so a little bit different than when he does as far as children. Why? What is the comparison of a child's attention span to an adult's attention span? Well, it's like a gallon and a thimble. You know, the child, you know, if you get them for 2 or 3 minutes, as far as talking, you're doing good. But you got to do things because their attention spans, because of their age and their development, is much shorter. And so they do some great things, you know, the games and the songs. And I'm not saying anything that's necessary when you're working with children. Paul writes, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." As people get older, it's time for them to move on, to do less about, their lives need to be less about playing and more about assuming responsibility. And so it is as far as you and I as believers. We need to have an attitude when we come before God, not so much of just receiving, but of giving. That when we come together to sing, we're not just going to sing for the enjoyment of it. We have come together to give glory and honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to Sunday school or whatever Bible study, we come with an attitude of, I just hope I'll be intellectually stimulated, or I hope something creative is going to happen. I come wanting to change and grow. You know, how, God, as I come before this class, how can I become more like you in Jesus' name? As far as worship, giving God the glory, having a heart that says, God, I love you. I'm not just here to sing songs. I'm here to worship you. Sermons, you know, God, bring me to a place of change, of conviction, of faith, of power. When we pray, God, speak to us and speak to me as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, first, I give myself to you in every aspect of our worship. It's important that we make that transition of being people who just receive to be people who give God first. Because when we do, what happens? We get all that God gives and so much more. Amen. All the things that we look for in entertainment, we get. But so much more. When the Spirit of God is moving, it just doesn't do something in my heart. It does something in my mind, and it does something in my emotions. There's nothing wrong with being emotional about loving and serving and worshiping Jesus. We've been set free to do that, and it becomes real and genuine and lasting when it's God first. We have a giving attitude in the name of Jesus. It takes two things to worship in spirit and truth, is John chapter 4, verse 24. And if our musicians would come this morning. Number one, it starts with us as leaders. I speak not only to myself, but I speak to everyone who is in some capacity a leader, a minister within this body. We cannot have, if we are going to touch people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot have a mentality of, how can I entertain people? You know, we use other words. You know, how can I keep people excited or interested? We can't have that mindset. How can I entertain people for the next 45 minutes or for the next hour and a half? We need to have a heart, a mindset is, God, what do you want to accomplish? Now, I'm not saying that we don't have to prepare. And I'm not saying that our ministry needs to be bereft of passion. But if we're truly to offer something spiritually appetizing or spiritually something that is meaningful and eternal, it needs to be something that is touched by the anointing of God or the power of the Holy Spirit. Without which, it is nothing. I'm not giving a pass on being prepared. It's important, I think, to be proficient in our study and in the practice of musical instruments and delivery and techniques of working with children in different age groups. But equally, no, I'd say even more so. before we stand up before anyone, before we invest into anyone, we've got to give them something that they want to get spiritually excited about. And the only way you can get someone spiritually excited is not with a lot of bells and whistles and fireworks. It's by getting on your knees before God and earnestly seeking His anointing upon your ministry in Jesus' name. That's the only way it's going to happen. It doesn't happen any other way. That's what the apostles did. They prayed, they sought God, and they studied the Word. Without which, there's no substitute. No substitute whatsoever. We have to offer something real if people are genuinely going to sacrifice themselves for it. If we just try to throw out entertainment or worse, dead dry bones, or equally as bad, dead dry bones, you know, just go up there and rattle off something that we've written down, it won't have that meaningful and eternal effect on people in Jesus' name. But secondly, recipients as well. Those of us who are receiving. I only give part of time. You know, I sit and listen to worship and sit and listen to different people preach and different things. We need to have the proper attitude as well. That genuine worship is spiritual worship. God is a spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to seek to be filled in the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you know, as far as recipients, we need to be as equally prepared, because the anointing that's upon them is just as necessary in our lives if we're to receive what God has. Because anointing isn't just give someone words to share. It gives us ears to hear. We need God. And so we need to pray that God would give us the right attitude when we come before God in prayer, in worship, in Sunday school, in teaching, in whatever aspect of worship this morning. And so this morning I'd like to ask everyone to stand. And as you do, and as both we as leaders, but also we as receivers, when we have the right attitude that, God, I've come to your house for one purpose, first and foremost. There may be other things, I might have needs, but my first purpose is to give myself to you in Jesus' name. You will experience so much of Christ and so much more in Jesus' name. Satisfaction of your soul, hunger for more, empowerment, you know, to love and to do the work of evangelism. And it begins with us. It begins with leaders. So as leaders, I'd like to ask you to pray that God would give you a new vision regarding what you're doing. And I'm not saying that the leadership here in this church has a top hat on and trying to keep things going in the three rings. Not entertaining. But there is a strong persuasion to do that. We need to refocus that it's not about entertainment. It's about Christ. It's about His Spirit. As worship team, your responsibility is to usher people into God's presence, not to entertain people. As teachers, your job is to instruct people the Word of God. No other thing. Not to entertain, not to keep them engaged and use different tricks to do so, but to instruct them the Word of God that they might have something that they can grow on. As preachers, my responsibility, and others who fill this pulpit to preach the Word of God, to exhort in Jesus' name. Not so much worry about making people laugh or cry and entertain, but to do what God has called to do, to share what Jesus is laying on our hearts in the name of Jesus. We're going to do two quick prayers. First prayer is for leaders. Let's bow our hearts and let's pray. You might not be a leader. Join with me in prayer as we pray for the leadership of this body in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much. And I thank you for the treasure that we have in this church body of leadership in Jesus' name. Father, although there is a strong pull for us, Lord, as leaders to somehow make our ministry into some type of three-ring circus or some type of venue for entertainment, help us stay true to spiritual values in Jesus' name. God, help us as leaders not only seek to be better, Lord, as far as our knowledge and our techniques, oh God, in the natural, but above all, help us to be people who earnestly search for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon everything that we do. Because it is only your anointing that breaks the yoke. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Secondly, I'm going to pray this morning for worshipers. There may be those that, and God is speaking to you this morning. God is saying, that's you. And I'm not saying this in condemnation. I think we've all been there, if we're honest with ourselves. That's you. You know, you come to church, you hope to be entertained. And that if you're not entertained, if something in that service didn't strike your fancy, you treat that as a bad day. Instead of coming and saying, God, I give myself to you. Lord, I'm here to worship you with all my heart. I don't care if they sing all the songs that I hate. I don't care if they're out of tune. I don't care if the preacher is yelling and screaming and telling beautiful stories or if he sounds like he's just going through the motions. I don't care. I'm here for you, and I want to give my heart to you, and I want to receive from you, and I want to be changed by you. It's about you. It's not about man. Let me tell you, your experience when you come together in God's, when we come together in God's house, will be radically changed if that's not your heart at this moment. Let's pray and let's ask God to forgive us of such a mentality and to instill in our hearts a giving, true worshiping spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much in the holy name of Jesus for your blessing, for your peace, oh God. We thank you for your spirit. And God, we must confess that, God, there have been times where we've not really sought to give ourselves of you. We've sought just to get something, to get entertained. We've come together in God's house. Forgive us, Lord, of that sin. We pray in the name of Jesus. Renew us and restore us, I pray. Help us, God, in the midst of a society that says, me first, help us to put you first in everything, including our worship, including our prayer, including our study, everything, God. Help us to put you first in Jesus' holy name. And in doing so, God, we know when we put you first, we can assuredly have that heart of expectation, oh God, that you're going to do something because we've honored you. And God, we ask all these things this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. As our worship team begins to sing, we invite those, you know, the Spirit of God may be dealing with some today, perhaps regarding this issue. And you know, God is beginning to do some things in your heart. I invite you that if you feel a conviction or some type of spiritual prevailing or persuasion upon your heart, that's the Holy Spirit just moving and dealing with you. And if you don't have a peace about what God's doing, I invite you to take some time and come to the altars and spend some time with the Lord until you receive that peace. You know, it's God's way of saying, you know, I'm doing something in you, but I'm not quite done yet. I need you to come and just spend some time before me in my presence so that I can finish the good work that I've started. In Jesus' name, we'd like you to come. You just might like to come because you might just want to spend some time in prayer with the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to do that as well in the name of Jesus for those who'd like to come. But as our worship team sings, we invite you to come in the holy name of Jesus. And everyone join in as we sing a song of praise.